this month, we are talking about a transportation issue. We have a somewhat diverse mix of transportation, streetcars, buses, vehicles, ferries, but we almost had something else added into the mix. Tell us about that.
A monorail, a futuristic-looking bullet train, Euro-inspired monorail in 1958. This came out of, very generally speaking, that emphasis on modernizing transportation infrastructure that happened after World War II during the Chet Morrison administration. But the main champions for it were Victor Sciro, who was in the city council at the time, president of the city council and future mayor. And so Morrison advocated for it. And where it came from was an attempt to modernize the city and keep up with Houston, which was making gains and recently surpassed New Orleans as the largest city in the region. It was about to embark as a critical city in the space age. And so Morrison wanted to keep up by making New Orleans the gateway to the Americas. And this idea for a monorail to connect downtown with the airport came to be one of these ways to compete.
What would have been the competitive advantage of having a monorail? Would that have been a selling point? Hey, New Orleans, we have a monorail.
It would have been dazzling. It would have been a piece of infrastructure that spoke to aspirations and kind of cutting edge technology. Peddling it was a firm from Houston, and it was called Monorail Incorporated. And so they lobbied the administration here to try to get a franchise. This was going to be purely private money. It was going to be funding this. And it was going to cost $16 million. This is 1958, and it was going to connect downtown. So imagine at the corner of Loyola and Poitras, this futuristic-looking terminal with this swooping asymmetrical monorail hanging from these big J-shaped pillars. You would get to the airport in 14 minutes. There was a lot of enthusiasm here, but there was also among professionals, city planners, experts, a lot of skepticism that this was a company peddling an experimental technology, and rather cynically, this is their interpretation, using what they perceive to be a pliable government here to use New Orleans as a test bed and to create a showcase from which they could sell this transportation technology to other cities. And so skepticism set up, but nevertheless, city council gave them the franchise, but also wanted a full-blown study to be done.
So the skepticism where it might be a great idea, it would have been a way for people to easily get from the airport into town, something we still don't have, by the way. When people start to see their city as being a guinea pig, some people might think that's a good thing, but not in this case.
Yeah, well, you know, for the people advocating for it, you know, they heard this argument that this is too far ahead of its time. Their response was, that's the point. We want to modernize. So this full-blown study was done, and it was done by a monorail advocate. And so he gave it a thumbs up. But the Achilles heel of the project was finances. They were charging between, 50 cents to a dollar for this transportation. And the numbers just didn't add up, even with very generous expectations of who would be riding this, that it could even pay back the interest on the $16 million of private costs. And so eventually, when the hard data came in, one might say level heads prevailed, and it was eventually voted down and killed in 1959. You know, I concluded the article with kind of an alternative history. We now know the rest of the story. We now know about the interstates and white flight and suburbanization, and an argument can be made that that this would have been a fiasco, and it would have been underutilized, and we'd have all these neutral grounds with these big pillars. I think an alternative view might be that it developed from just a connection to the airport into, and I have some of the images and maps here, into something that really looked like a legitimate full-blown light rail system connecting a number of different neighborhoods. And maybe if that was built, it would have, evaded or kept more investment and reason to stay in the city. And I must say, looking through these dazzling space-age graphics from the late 1950s, you almost feel a little bit of melancholy that, you know, these were really dazzling aspirations. And thus, the monorail never came into being. And here we are all these years later with a new administration in Baton Rouge, and we're talking about light rail again.
Also, at that time in the late 50s, with the interstate system coming, this was a public transportation project at a time when the interstate was making personal vehicle transportation much more fluid, much more popular.
And that's why my read of this is that when those planners were very skeptical about this, they were thinking rationally.
What do you like about these might-have-been stories? It seems these are things you're often attracted to, looking at something that almost happened and then didn't.
I'm attracted to these geographies that almost were, these histories that almost were, on a number of grounds. One, for all the fascinating characters and the inspirations and the thinking behind it, and also for the provocative speculation that it allows us to engage in. I would argue a very healthy one, that it's a reminder that the city that we have today was not inevitable. Decisions were made. There was contingency. There was uncertainty. And we could very well have gone down a different path. And maybe sometimes it would have been worse and other times it would have been better. But, you know, human beings were active agents in all of these decisions. And that's a good thing to remember when we try to imagine what our future our present geography might have been had these certain decisions been made in the past.
Also a bit of an irony in that we're doubling down on a much older form of transportation, the streetcars, and we still don't have any light rail.
We'll save that for another interview.
Richard Campanella is professor of geography with the Tulane School of Architecture and author of the monthly Cityscapes column at NOLA.com. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you.